We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
There's some high school football moves that we talked about at the beginning of the show, but let me remind you in case you missed it. Spartanburg at Gaffney, Boiling Springs at Burns, Walhalla at Wren, Union County at Emerald all moved to Thursday night. I see Chapman at Chesney on the list, but I think that was already scheduled for Thursday. But anyway, they play Thursday night as well. So those games scheduled for Thursday. There have been, it's going to be in the 40s and 100% chance of rain Friday, so that's why we have those moves. We'll see if some other folks move some games. There are a whole bunch of moves up to Thursday in the Midlands and the Lowcountry. Too many to list, but a bunch of them because the rain that's coming in here is also expected to affect that area. And I know it's just rain, but it's cold rain, Lonzo. We can't play.
Cold rain.
It's cold rain. We're not playing.
Well, I think I need to call in Friday because it's cold rain and I can't go outside my house.
I don't think your work requires you to be outdoors.
It does if I need to get here. I got to walk out to my car.
I'm not sure that qualifies as a fair comparison to sitting out in the rain playing a football game. Or watching a football game. Or broadcasting. No, actually, I would be covered, so I can't complain. But anyway, they made these moves. And I, for one, like it. I don't want to set up for a football game in a 45-degree rain.
Seems like it's all about you, but that's
it
fine.
It is. I have to work early Saturday, so this is good. Watch World Series on Friday night now. 844-477-3776, the Health Dare text line, 71307. Time for three questions at three in the huddle. It's basketball and football today on three questions. Let's start with the basketball, Alonzo.
All right, the Lakers are 0-3. Is this a wake-up call for those who thought they'd be good right away?
Yeah, the Lakers suck. They're done. Put a fork in the L.A. Lakers. LeBron can't hit free throws. The Lakers are toast. I'm kidding. No, look, last night they didn't have Brandon Ingram and Rondo, and they lost by 1 point because LeBron couldn't hit free throws. That's one reason. Or the game-winning shot. But I don't think the Lakers are going to be good right away anyway. I didn't think that to begin with. And when LeBron has joined a new team, they've struggled to start and then went on a little streak. I think that might happen with the Lakers. I still don't think they get to 50 wins. But I do think they make the playoffs. So my mind hasn't changed. That's a sluggish start at 0-3, and the buzz will continue until they win. I don't think they'll go like 0-10, do you?
I hope not. No, I don't think so. Listen, here's the thing. I mean, chemistry, it takes a while for it. It's not instant. Like oatmeal, I heard that somewhere. It takes a while to work on that, and as you mentioned earlier in the show, they're missing some players. You're missing Ingram. You're missing Rondo.
You're going to be missing them a while.
Yeah, going to miss them for a few games because of that little incident a couple nights ago. But I think they're showing progress each game. They're getting better and better, and they're not getting blown out. I mean, they're losing fairly tight games, or at least games that are tight in the fourth quarter and – you know, it gets away from him a little bit at the end. But, I mean, as far as LeBron missing free throws, he's had a problem for the last couple of years missing free throws.
I think it was like 8-for-11. It's just those two he missed were critical.
Yeah, it gets in his head sometimes. He's had different players show him their techniques, and he tries to adapt that. And he, I don't know. I don't know why he's – I mean, he's not Shaq bad.
No.
As you said, he hit 8-of-11.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And as far as him missing a game-winning shot, there was a time where he was criticized because he wouldn't take it.
Yeah.
You know.
He took him. You want that. It wasn't the best of shots. They might have gotten a better shot.
Out of all the guys on that team, he's the guy that you want to take that shot.
Especially with Ingram out. You don't want Rondo shooting anyway. But that's true. You might want him to drive to the basket. But then he can go to the free throw line and miss it, so you probably didn't want that.
There is that.
All right, question two.
Which NFL teams that are currently under 500 have the best shot to make the playoffs? I want you to see, I've marked one off.
Who was it?
It was the Broncos. I had the Broncos.
Because of Chad Kelly? Because of the party?
This was before all the news broke.
Yeah.
So this was before we went on the air. You handed me the questions, and that's one of the teams I wrote down on there. I had to mark that off there because I have the feeling that this party is going to cause some problems.
It could. It sounds not good.
TMZ is salivating right now, and they're covering every angle. They're going to find some stuff that's probably going to cause some Broncos some games or maybe worse.
Yeah.
The couple teams that I have on my list are Eagles and the Cowboys. You got to believe that the Eagles are going to come back from the problems that they've been having.
Cowboys?
And the reason why I think the Cowboys is because their division is so weak, they're all going to be playing each other a couple more times, and I think it's going to pump up their record. You said possibility. I don't believe that the Cowboys will make it. I do believe the Eagles will, and I have one more team, and it's the Jags.
Yeah.
And here's the thing, the Jags, their defense has been good, but they've been struggling the last couple games. They're having trouble at quarterback, but I think they may turn it around because they also are in a fairly weak division, and I think they'll be okay.
All right, so here are your under 500 teams. Buffalo, no way. Cleveland, sorry. Don't think so. Jacksonville and Tennessee, both in the AFC South, and I could see either one of those making it. I kind of like one of those two, not to pick one. I'd probably go Jags. Jags in that one. They have a decent shot. Denver, yeah. I'm not ready to throw them under the bus because they're not going to miss Chad Kelly.
The reason why I had Denver in there in the first place is because I don't believe in the Chargers.
Yeah.
I think the Chargers are going to come back down, and I think Denver's going to go up.
And, the Chiefs will win it, but they could be a wild card. Denver could be a wild card. In the NFC, Eagles, yes. Cowboys, I'm going to say no. I don't believe. Nobody in the North is under 500. In the South, it's the Falcons. No. Change of my mind. No. Falcons defense, too bad. Offense is doing all right. Defense is too bad. And then nobody in the West because your two teams under 500 are 1-6. So that's it. Eagles would be my first choice out of all of those. After that, I guess the Jags, to make it. Somebody will make it that's under 500.
And when it comes down to it, if there's only one team out of all the ones we listed, it's got to be the Eagles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, and question three.
Clemson is favored by 17 over Florida State. Do the Tigers cover?
I'm going to go with no on this one. Betting against Clemson has not been smart, right? I mean, last week it was the same thing, and it was, 41-7?
I can't remember if I went under or over last week, but I was right about it being a blowout, though.
Yeah, it was definitely an ugly game. But Clemson was at home last week. They had the week off. They were kind of hyped up and ready to go. So that made a difference to me. 17 on the road. I think Florida State is better than they were to start. So I'm going to say Florida State covers on this one. Clemson covered against. They didn't cover. They didn't cover against Syracuse. They didn't cover against A&M, and I'll say this is another game where they don't cover. So I'm going with no. What do you think?
I think Clemson's starting to get in that mode where they're looking ahead to the playoffs. That could be good. That could be bad. But I think it's going to be good. Do you think NC State is a better team than Florida State?
On paper, yes, but not by much. I didn't believe in NC State going in because they hadn't beaten anybody, and they sure didn't look good. But I like the fact that this game's at Doak Campbell for Florida State to cover the 17.
Well, I know coming into this season when Richmond was here too, you guys both have been high on Florida State.
High?
Yeah, compared to me, yes.
Okay.
Because I'm not, and I just don't see it. I'm sorry. I think Clemson's going to blow them out. I think they're going to get well over 17, probably 24, maybe 30.
All right. I mean, I could see that happening, too. I could have seen it happening. I told you last week that it wouldn't be surprised if they blew out NC State.
That offense was rolling last week. And if they roll like that again this week, they're going to put up some serious points.
Mm-hmm. The crowd will be into it at Florida State for a while. Does Clemson get them out of it quickly? That's what they did last week. Of course, it was a home crowd, but I mean, this is the first time that Clemson came out on fire. They have started slow this year, until last week. And then they started fast and jumped up 14-0 in just a couple of possessions, and it was on. So
if Clemson wins the toss, it's over quick, because I think they go straight down and score that first touchdown and take that crowd out of it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Remains to be seen, but that is kind of interesting. We actually have college football tonight. Turn on ESPN2 at 8 o'clock, and you can watch Troy at South Alabama. Well, you could.
Wow.
Every time Troy plays, I tell you, Sedarius Rookard played at Spartanburg High School. Kick returner and plays in the secondary.
That's awesome, but I'd be interested about what the ratings are for these Tuesday, Wednesday night games.
I mean, ratings aren't going to be big on that one.
And it's kind of going up against something else that's big going on in another sport. I forget what it is exactly. Something going on, I believe, tonight.
Is this your...
It's the World Series.
Oh.
I was joking.
I thought this was your thing that you're doing
games. No. That's a video game. That has nothing to do with it. That has to do with me.
Yeah, it is up against the World Series.
We're not worried about that. It's going up against the World Series. There's no way anyone's watching that.
Not a lot of people. I agree. There are a bunch of Thursday night games. Baylor at West Virginia. Back in the day, that would have been a good one. West Virginia's number 13. Ball State at Ohio. Toledo at Western Michigan is the ESPN 2 game. Appalachian State at Georgia Southern is the U game on Thursday night. Appalachian State's now ranked number 25 in the country.
I almost put that on our list.
Yeah, Georgia Southern's bad.
There was a time when they were pretty good.
Yeah, there was. I've been down to Allen Paulson Stadium. It used to be a really tough place to play, but not as much anymore. But, you know, that might be a respectable game being in at Georgia Southern. And then Georgia Tech, Virginia Tech. That's not a bad ACC game on Thursday night. 7:30 from Lane Stadium in Blacksburg. Virginia Tech would be favored in that one. There are a bunch of Friday games as well. Florida Atlantic hosting Louisiana Tech. Miami Boston College is Friday night. That's not a bad game there. The loser of that one can hang it up. 7 o'clock on ESPN. Indiana plays Minnesota on Friday night. Wyoming at Colorado State. And number 23 Utah goes to UCLA on Friday night. 10:30 game, so you can go to a high school football game, assuming they're not all moved to Thursday, and watch that game when you get back at 10:30 on Friday night from the Rose Bowl at UCLA. Then Saturday, of course, the noon games highlighted by Clemson, Florida State on ABC, Wisconsin, Northwestern on Fox, Vanderbilt, Arkansas on SEC Network. Texas Tech, Iowa State will be on ESPN2 at noon. Wake Forest and Louisville on the ACC Network from Cardinal Stadium. And let's see, can Purdue keep it going and beat Michigan State? That's the ESPN game.
That's also on our list.
Okay.
Because I believe that's an interesting game.
Yeah, it is. I think so, too. Virginia, North Carolina play at 12:20 on Saturday. TCU, Kansas at 3 o'clock. Florida, Georgia. We will have that one for you here on ESPN Upstate. Number 9, Florida. Number 7, Georgia at Jacksonville. 3:30 CBS game and here on ESPN Upstate on Saturday afternoon. K-State plays Oklahoma at 3:30. Iowa and Penn State, an interesting game. Neither of them going anywhere, but that's a 3:30 game on ESPN Saturday. Arizona State, Southern Cal is at 3:30. Duke at Pittsburgh at 3:30. Missouri gets Kentucky at 4 o'clock on the SEC Network. This might be where Kentucky stumbles. Might be. We'll see. I am only won 14-7 last week. So I could sort of see that possibly coming. Cal hosting Washington at 6:30 our time. Washington State and Stanford, that's two ranked teams. They will play at Stanford Stadium at 7 o'clock on Saturday night. Texas A&M goes to Mississippi State. That's an ESPN game at 7. NC State, Syracuse, ESPN 2 at 7. South Carolina, Tennessee is on the SEC Network Saturday night at 7:30 from Williams-Brice Stadium. Number 3, Notre Dame plays Navy in San Diego. That's weird. But that's what they're doing. Number 6, Texas at Oklahoma State on ABC Saturday night at 8 o'clock. Oregon and Arizona at 10:30 on ESPN on Saturday night. Those are some of the highlight games this week on your college football schedule. Again, some pretty good stuff, but not great stuff. Got Alabama LSU coming up next weekend, so that'll be a big marquee game next weekend. 844-477-3776. Health Dare text line 71307. Be right back. This is The Huddle on ESPN Upstate. I feel like I have a Chad Kelly update on every segment today.
All right. It's a gift that keeps on giving.
Definitely. Chad Kelly arrested. He was sitting on someone's couch, mumbling incoherently. The people, he didn't live there. I don't guess they knew him. This was after a party in the Denver area last night. So Ian Rappaport tweeting, Broncos general manager John Elway met with Chad Kelly following his arrest. Elway is extremely angry with the player and not the Western-themed party that Von Miller throws every year, where many community members attend. All options, including release, are on the table for Chad Kelly. So, look, we talked about it, and a texter said this, that, you know, he was at a party. There was one report earlier that I think was erroneous, that it was a cocaine-themed party. Seems to have been a cowboy-themed party. There is a big difference. And this is a regular party for Von Miller. But, you know, Chad Kelly being at that party, what was going on at that party? People are going to naturally ask that. He had no alcohol in his system. They have not addressed whether he had any other substances in his system. So I think it's putting two and two together. Some people are suggesting that perhaps Chad Kelly had something at the party that set him off. And he wanted, because the residence where he was arrested was near Von Miller's home, not too far away.
Which means more than likely these are probably some nice homes.
Yeah, I'm going to go with yes on that. Probably so. So, you know, anyway, the report from Ian Rappaport is that John Elway's mad. That's not surprising. And that they have not determined what to do, but release is an option for Chad Kelly. He might have done himself in Denver with us.
I don't know why these people don't like couch swag.
He is definitely showing some swag going in and sitting on somebody's couch.
How did he get in the house? Did he break into the house? Did they let him in? Mm-hmm. Were their doors unlocked and he just walked in?
Yep. All possibilities are on the table. But Chad Kelly's in some trouble in Denver, I would say. Doesn't look good for Chad. World Series Game 1 tonight. You can hear it here on ESPN Upstate. Pregame show at 7 o'clock. First pitch should be around 8:09 tonight. The Dodgers in Boston. Clayton Kershaw has been named the Dodgers Game 1 starter. Kershaw, raised in Texas, lives in Southern California, of course. And when he was working out at the Fenway Park bullpen, moments after his team arrived in Boston, he was wearing shorts and a light sweater in 40-degree weather. Kershaw said, just trying to get used to it. If I'm cold yesterday, I won't be as cold tomorrow. So he was just getting out there and getting used to the chilly weather in Boston. Chris Sale will go, another great lefty for the Boston Red Sox. Dodgers are slated to follow with Ryu in Game 2, then Buehler, then Rich Hill in 3 and 4, respectively. Red Sox, David Price goes in Game 2. They have not announced the rest of their rotation. They could use some bullpen guys, just don't know what they're going to do. Chris Sale, Boston starter tonight, asked about how deep he could go in the game.
How many innings do you think you could go in Game 1?
As many as we need. There's no holding back now. I think my job's been the same since the first day I got here. You hand me the ball when you want me to throw it, and you take it out of my hand when you want me to stop. That's what I'm going with.
That's Chris Sale. He'll pitch tonight. Love that matchup. Chris Sale, Clayton Kershaw, pretty good stuff tonight in Game 1. The Dodgers chose Ryu over Hill in Game 2 because they like the possibility of Ryu pitching two games in this series. As expected, the Dodgers will load their lineup with right-handed hitters to oppose Sale tonight in Game 1. David Freese is going to start at first base. Matt Kemp will be the DH. Kershaw pitched the final inning in Game 7 of the National League Championship Series on Saturday. That was 3 days after a 98-pitch start. Does not expect that to be a problem to start the World Series. He said it was fine. He only needed 15 pitches to get through the Brewers in that inning on Saturday. He said it was somewhat of a normal inning, which was good. I tried to throw as few pitches as possible in the bullpen before. He said the intensity is different, things like that. That's why I came out yesterday to make sure everything was good, and he says he's good to go. Kershaw has long carried this label of a subpar performer in October. But his past seven postseason starts, he's had a 3.32 earned run average. That's not bad at all. And this postseason, he threw eight scoreless innings against the Atlanta Braves in the National League Division Series, then had two drastically different starts against the Brewers in the second round. He only got nine outs, and he was charged with five runs in Game 1. Then he had seven innings, one run, given up in a crucial Game 5. Kershaw will match up with Sale for the second time in his career. The only other two times, the only one time that these two pitchers have faced off, June 15, 2012. Kershaw visited Fenway Park as a kid. He downplays the significance of his first start here. He calls Sale a very good pitcher who has been dominant for a long time, but he said, "I don't take much solace about the matchup. I don't care, other than I'd like him to not be as good so we have a better chance of winning." That's good. Captain Obvious there. I like that. The Dodgers came into last year's World Series with a 104-win regular season and lost to the Astros in seven games. They only won 92 games this year and required a 163rd game to clinch their sixth consecutive division title. The Red Sox won 108 games this year. They had a +250 run differential. So they're the favorites. -130 underdogs for the Dodgers here. It's the first time since July 24th, 2012, that they have not been favored with Kershaw pitching. So they're underdogs -130 in Game 1. So there's been 199 Clayton Kershaw starts where they have been favored. Tonight breaks that. That's interesting. Manager Dave Roberts says that's a role reversal for us. It's the high payroll, high-powered Red Sox, and I like having the underdog role. So if you're a baseball fan, doesn't get much better. I don't know if you like these two teams being in. I know a lot of people wanted the Braves to get there around here, but that didn't happen. Some people were pulling for the Brewers. That didn't happen, but this is a pretty good matchup here. Red Sox and Dodgers. And we have Game 1 for you tonight, Game 2 for you tomorrow night. We'll have Game 3 on Friday night now that our Burns broadcast with Bowling Springs has been moved up to Thursday, so we can bring you all of those. And we will have Game 4 on Saturday night. So got you covered with the World Series getting underway tonight in Boston, the Dodgers and the Red Sox, and you can hear it here starting at 7 o'clock with a pregame show on ESPN Upstate. 844-477-3776 is our number. Phone lines open if you want to get in for the last half hour. You can do that now. Health Dare text line 71307. Be right back in a moment. This is The Huddle on ESPN Upstate. Thanks for listening to The Huddle today on ESPN Upstate's Greg McKinney and Lonzo. We're here till 4 this afternoon. Straight up with Sturge then, and then the Red Sox and the Dodgers tonight, 7 o'clock. Texter off the text line, Health Dare text line 71307, always open to you, by the way, so feel free to text in, start your message with ESPN. Texter says, haven't heard anything about Red Sox bullpen pitcher Heath Hembree being from Spartanburg, Broome High School graduate. Yeah, that's true, Heath Hembree. He's like 29 years old from Spartanburg, and he's been getting some innings for the Red Sox out of the bullpen. He attended USC, College of Charleston, and Spartanburg Methodist, and we'll be there. I think, you know, if you don't have a dog in the fight in the World Series, there's good reason to go with the Red Sox because of the local guys. You got Steve Pierce that went to South Carolina. He's out of Florida, but went to South Carolina, drafted by the Pirates. He's playing outfield for the Red Sox. Of course, you have Jackie Bradley Jr. played at South Carolina. And you have Mookie Betts, who played here in Greenville for the Greenville Drive a few years ago. So, all things considered, you might want to consider that if you're undecided on who to pull for in this year's World Series. Opening up tonight in Boston, the Red Sox and the Dodgers. I was looking, Lonzo, at this TMZ Sports report on this being a cocaine-themed party.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's been denied by tweets by Benjamin Albright. They said it was a cowboy-themed party. But there are pictures, TMZSports.com. Here's their story that came out this morning, 9:29 Pacific time. The Denver Broncos had a Halloween party, and man, did it blow. Get it? Von Miller hosted his annual All Hallows Eve bash for his teammates Monday night. And the unofficial theme seemed to be people who famously dabbled in nose candy. Check out linebacker Brandon Marshall, who transformed into Bobby Brown, complete with a gold chain and a king-sized bag of white powder. And there's a picture there. I guess it's accurate. There is a bag of white powder being held up. That doesn't mean that, you know, maybe they're pretending, having fun, no cocaine at the party.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Because a bag that size, according to movies and TV shows I've seen, is worth quite a bit of cash.
Mm-hmm. Wide receiver Emmanuel Sanders rubbed white powder all over his face to become legendary Chappelle Show crackhead Tyrone Biggums. And then they had OT Genesis. You'll have to clue me in.
No idea.
They're performing his drug-inspired anthem, Coco. Okay. So,
What? No Clapton?
No Clapton. Well, I don't know. Maybe there was. That's just what TMZ Sports says. I mean, isn't it possible that, you know, some of the guys had some fun and dressed up with a cocaine theme without doing anything really
wrong? I
don't
hear anything about chaps or cowboy hats, so that sounds more like a cocaine party, doesn't it?
Yeah, but not a real cocaine party, necessarily, right?
As far as we know.
As far as we know. But it is intriguing that Chad Kelly goes to that party and then he winds up doing what he did, which is, in case you missed it, entered somebody's home without permission, sat down on the couch, and started babbling incoherently, mumbling incoherently.
If they find cocaine in his system, man, is Denver in trouble.
Yeah, that would not be good. Well, why didn't they say when they released this police report, or when the police report came out, it said no alcohol in his system?
Why'd
they leave it at that?
They probably gave him a breathalyzer, which would tell if he had alcohol, but you can't test for any other drugs without.
More extensive.
Yeah.
Take a little longer.
Yeah.
Maybe they're doing that. Maybe they're doing that. All right. Anyway, more to come certainly on that. There's no question about that. Word out of Columbia is that South Carolina is working hard to add their 12th game. They missed the Marshall game because of Hurricane Florence. And they're definitely planning on playing 12 games. Will Muschamp is saying he's very confident they'll play December 1st. He doesn't know against who. He said that Ray Tanner, athletic director, is handling that, but he said he is preparing his team to play a 12th game. He's conveying that message that players should be ready to play. Bryson Allen Williams said, we're playing December 1st. We don't know who, but Coach Muschamp has been clear we're going to play on that day. Marshall could be the opponent. That's the team that got canceled on September 15th. They're on the list. There are two teams who canceled their games who have added another game to their schedule. East Carolina and North Carolina State are going to play after canceling their games against Virginia Tech and West Virginia, respectively. Other teams, Division I FBS teams, that had a game canceled due to the hurricane include North Carolina, Central Florida, Southern Miss, and Appalachian State. Gamecocks are already scheduled to play Chattanooga, so probably want to get an FBS school when rescheduling this game. There has been no public announcement of when the game will be announced. Got Tennessee this week, but anyway, they're definitely planning on playing somebody on December 1st. I think Marshall's still a good possibility to come back in on December 1st and play the Gamecocks. All right, let's take our final break, 844-477-3776, HealthDare text line 71307. We'll be back to wrap it up. If you want to jump in on the phones, do it now. This is The Huddle on ESPN Upstate. Welcome back, The Huddle on ESPN Upstate. It's Greg McKinney and Lonzo. We had a caller. Is that him calling back now or no? Anyway, caller asking about the South Carolina Gamecocks ever-winning night game under Will Muschamp. And they have. They did win a night game against Tennessee 2 years ago. They beat Tennessee 24-21. It was an upset back in 2016. I think Will Muschamp is 1-2 at South Carolina in night games. He lost to Kentucky, and Clemson beat Tennessee.
Well, he said someone on the other show, either Sturge or Childress, said that he had never won one at night, and he was upset and wanted to prove that they were wrong.
Yeah, it was 2 years ago. Only one. They haven't played a lot of night games.
One is more than zero, though.
It is. They're 1-2 at night under Will Muschamp. I don't know how much that matters, but they do get a night game this week against Tennessee again. I know we'll talk about this. We're going to do our picks tomorrow, right? Because I'm not here Thursday. So we'll do our picks tomorrow.
And we have them, and they're 10 wonderful games. Not really.
Yeah, let me see what you did here. That's a tough game. That's they're not terrible. Why'd you put Arkansas Vanderbilt on there? That's terrible.
Because someone has to win that game.
I mean, maybe it's not easy, but it's terrible.
I think it's going to be a hard game to pick. That's why I put it on there.
Yeah. Now, these aren't bad as far as who to pick. Miami-Boston College, that could go either way. Purdue-Michigan State, you wouldn't have thought before last week, but look what Purdue did. So you might consider that a tough game. Florida-Georgia is always difficult, and that's the SEC East right there. I know Kentucky has something to say about it. Kentucky plays Missouri this week. So that could be, I think that's an interesting game and not that easy to pick. Do you think Tennessee-South Carolina is an easy pick this year?
No, I do not.
I don't either. Probably going to go Gamecocks at home in that one, but Tennessee
really
showing some, yeah, why wouldn't I? South Carolina's been good against Tennessee.
I know. I think you've only picked the Gamecocks like twice all year.
I don't know about that.
Including this one, if you pick it.
I don't know. Well, you haven't put, you know, the easy games on there, so you put tough games on there.
That's what I'm supposed to
My
do,
only
right?
Bad pick on the Gamecocks was Vanderbilt. That wasn't good. I admit that. That wasn't good. We have Washington-Stanford on our picks. Not necessarily an easy game there. Iowa-Penn State. That's not easy. Penn State's not been overwhelmingly good. And Texas A&M has to go to Mississippi State. That's certainly a game that could go the other way. Texas A&M will be favored in that game. But, hey, who knows? Who's going to win that game? So, yeah, those are some decent games. We'll get them on tomorrow. Get Richmond on the line and do those tomorrow afternoon.
Michael said thank you for clearing that up.
Sure. What, Tennessee beat South? I mean, South Carolina beat Tennessee at night. Yeah. 2 years ago.
We're all about making, you know, things accurate.
All right. Rajon Rondo today continues to deny that he intentionally spit at Chris Paul during Saturday's brawl that resulted in suspensions for three players. Rondo pointed to the fact that he was wearing a mouth guard. Can you spit with a mouth guard?
You could spit the mouth guard out, but I think it would be very hard to spit with a mouth guard.
I think that's a fair point. It would be hard. You could, like, sling your head and throw some stuff on
him. If you've seen him play, then you know that he usually wears one. So
yeah. He said the league catered to Chris Paul's good guy image when deciding the length of the suspensions. Rondo told ESPN, "This is the only time I'm going to address this. I had a mouthpiece in my mouth. I was exasperated because I was about to tell him to get the blank out of here. Look at my body language in the video. My hands on my hips. I turn away for a second. Look at Eric Gordon and Melo, Carmelo Anthony, in the video. If they saw me spit, they would have turned their face up or something. They had no reaction."
By the way, as you were saying that, they were showing it on ESPN, and his hands were on his hips, and his head was turned almost exactly as you were saying it. And you know, I saw it when it happened.
How about any spit?
Didn't see any spit, no.
Could you tell?
And I didn't see it the night when it supposedly happened. All I saw was Chris Paul's fingers going to Rondo's eyes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, people don't like Rondo, so I get that.
By the way, I know I'm rooting for the Lakers because LeBron going there. I've never liked Rondo very much. But in this case, I think his reputation is hurting him for sure.
Yeah. Chris Paul today said he took pride in staying as poised as possible during this incident. Rondo got a 3-game suspension. Paul got a 2-game suspension.
Wait a minute. Chris Paul was poised?
He was poised.
Okay. Is that what you call that?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yep. Paul said, "It's tough being suspended. Somebody spits on you, play this long. That's never happened, but it is what it is." Brandon Ingram, who I like, started the whole thing. When he shoved James Harden and began arguing with referee Jason Phillips, Brandon Ingram got 4 games. In making its decisions, the NBA did evaluate the video shot courtside that appeared to capture Rondo. This is the ESPN story, Lonzo. Appeared to capture Rondo spitting into the face of Paul.
They have. I have not seen that angle. I wonder if they're just not showing that angle on purpose, or maybe it doesn't exist.
Or maybe ESPN doesn't have it. This is Rockets video. Staff took it courtside. It was shared with the league office. So I guess ESPN doesn't have it. So maybe that's it. Rondo told ESPN, of course the NBA went with his side because I got three games and he got two. Everyone wants to believe Chris Paul is a good guy. They don't know he's a horrible teammate.
All right, they just showed it. They just showed it. He spit.
Did he?
Yes.
Are they going to rerun it?
You see it?
Yeah, that's Rondo on the right.
Yeah, he spit.
I see his lips pursed.
Oh, no, they showed it. They showed it in slow-mo. He did spit. I take everything back. I just saw it. Again, without video evidence, I get it. But, you know, so he spit in his face, and watch. You see it. He spit in his face.
I don't see it flying, but I see Chris Paul back up.
You can't see it on the screen you're looking at, but in the big screen that I'm looking at, you could see it.
You can see the spit. I got the smallest screen on my side.
Not only do you see it coming out, but you see it going down. So, yeah.
All right. So, there you go. That'll teach you.
Now we have the video evidence. There's no denying it. That was straight up spit right in his face.
Yeah. Luke Walton said that Rondo did not spit on Paul.
You know, there's a possibility that maybe he was talking and it came, but it didn't look like, it looked like he spit in his face.
All right. All right. Well, we end up with that. Spitgate. Been an interesting day with Chad Gelly and Rajon Rondo and all the stuff that's going on. We will be back tomorrow for the Wednesday edition of The Huddle. We'll get to our football picks tomorrow and have some high school football stuff. Some of the games getting moved today, so keep that in mind. Thanks for listening to The Huddle today on ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.